Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart Scott, how you doing, brother?
Hakuna Matata. Can I tell you what I'm overreacting about? This is crazy, right? Because I feel like this was a weekend where it was like the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
It was dealer's choice. So whatever you were into, you can find something, you know what I'm saying, to kind of wet that palate. But for me, man, I'm sitting in Miami hanging out with the little one. He's on spring break.
Nice.
I'm just chilling, right? And I just so happen to turn on the television. And I'm looking up, and I'm like, damn. Venezuela beating USA. And I'm like, do I want to turn the channel? No. So I sit there, I watch, who's my guy that got hit? Realmuto get hit. I'm going through all everything. And then I see Trey Turner come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, Trey Turner, if I'm correct, he's now back in the division. He's with the Phillies, right?
Yes.
So I'm nervous with that, right? Because I remember when he was a speedster out there with, the Nationals, and then he went out to, you know, won a pennant. Did he win a pennant out there with the Dodgers?
Dude. I mean, you're talking about Trey Turner, and you like, just go ahead. Where are you going with this?
Yo, this is what I have to understand. I understand, like, winning a World Series and a championship is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes those moments you kind of hold dearest. But I wonder, when you turn on one like that and hit a salami like that, in that type of moment, yes, it wasn't a major league pitcher up. I don't think this guy was a major league. First of all, I feel sorry for him. I feel like they're going to burn his trash. And I hope they don't go beat this dude up or no stuff like that. You know what I mean? But, like, when he turned on it, I wonder, like, how does this equate to doing something, like, in the major leagues, in the World Series? Or how important, how big of a shot? Was that the biggest shot that he's ever had in his professional life?
No.
Because you think about
– hang on. Let's just get a couple of things on point.
Okay.
It was against Cuba.
Oh. No. I ain't talking about that one. I'm talking about the one before that.
You're not talking
Cuba?
About
– That was Cuba?
The Grand Slam?
Yeah.
Here's the 0-2. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. Deep. Did he do it? Grand Slam!
Yo.
Trey Turner has just delivered a Grand Slam.
Now, is that the one against Venezuela on – you're talking about – That one?
Yeah, not the one. I know they played another game the next day. I'm talking about the one. Have I had too many adult beverages that day?
That's the Venezuela one. That's the one you're talking about.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He had, like, you're talking about the weekend.
Yes.
Where they went they went off on Cuba. They blew 14-2.
No, they blew Cuba out. I'm talking about the tight game that they had. You know what I'm saying? In the eighth inning.
Gotcha.
That's the one, like. I'm saying, like,
I had a hard time following where you were going.
Okay,
because I'm just thinking of what happened yesterday.
No, I ain't talking about yesterday. Was an ass kicking, right? And
yeah.
Trey Turner stayed hot. I'm talking about, you know, because you got the guy from Houston coming out ninth inning, so like that was the time to strike. Down two, they were down two. It was 5-9 or something like that, and he turned. To me, I wonder, like, if I'm an athlete, do I hold those World Baseball Classics, or if I'm a basketball player, do I hold the Olympic medals to a higher degree than I hold, like, these type of tournaments? Because, like, you talk about coming through in a moment. I mean, to me, that was amazing. So I wonder, to me, that was the most amazing thing I saw all weekend. I know we had the upsets and all that stuff and the Cinderellas and all that stuff. But for me, Trey Turner, for me to be engaged in baseball, that's why I'm torn between this whole baseball class, because once again, El Tuve, a.k.a. the plane, now all of a sudden he has a broken thumb, and now that's going to hurt Houston.
Yeah, that injury is going to also create even more of what the WBC doesn't want to deal with. But it's amazing that you're starting our conversation about that.
That was a big moment. That might have been the most clutchest, you know, that was gangster right there, man.
You thought so?
that was gangster. And you know what's crazy?
This is a preseason tournament.
Yes, but
that
but
is it, like for fun. And even Trey Turner was just like, "Yeah, it's great."
No, but these are the pros, man. These are pros going against pros.
Yep.
This like, and they playing hard. This like what we would see if the East and the West play hard in the All-Star game. They took it seriously and they had pride in it. That's why it should be USA versus the world.
No,
it should be USA versus the world, man.
This is the Olympics.
Okay, well,
that's all this is.
Right. And I tell you what, man, like, you know what's crazy? Now I'm conditioned. All I was thinking about when he was coming around the bases is I hope they'll jump on him and he hurts his knee.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody's learned that lesson.
That's all I was thinking about, man. Don't jump on him. Don't get too hyped.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have another injury, man, because they'll cancel this game. And who knows after Altuve if they don't.
But
somebody
Turner
else got hit on the wrist, too.
Turner yesterday had two more home runs, I thought, and the win over Cuba.
Yeah,
like,
high.
I thought you were talking about just the whole weekend in general.
No. I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about moments. And to me, that was a moment that, you know,
really?
You want to stand up and
so
clap.
Saturday, with everything that went on Saturday.
Yes.
That is what moved you.
Yes. I don't know why. It just grabbed me.
That's amazing.
I felt a sense of pride.
Well, I understand.
I feel like I want to pull out my Don King little little flag.
God bless America. Like, you want to do that whole thing?
It was crazy, man. I was like, yo. And plus, like, when you look at the World Baseball Classic, right, you look at the teams, you don't think that America has the best. Mm-hmm. Like, who the hell was closing for them? I'm like, who the hell is this bum? You know what I'm saying? They got the Terminator from the Astros sitting up there warming up, and we got this dude like, oh, God, I hope he don't become a dud. That was I was patriotic. I cried. What was your big moment then, Alan?
Are you serious?
Did I miss one?
Oh, yeah. You kidding me? First of all, there's blue blood all over the brackets. I mean, you see this weekend of college basketball?
I think it is blue blood. Listen, they need
blue
to start
blood everywhere. It's like smeared all over the place. Like, I mean, the weekend
like call
of college
duty.
Oh,
like
my
call
God.
Duty.
The weekend of, like, think about it. Carolina didn't even get in. Duke out. Kentucky out. Kansas out. Like, I mean, it's just, who's left?
Nobody. If
Michigan
somebody,
State, your boy Izzo, that's who's left.
That's what I'm saying. That's a blue blood to me.
Yeah.
To me, that's a blue blood. Even though it's green, that's a blue blood.
No, I get you. But the point is like, the tournament has given us some moments, man. And Fairleigh Dickinson, I mean, obviously, again, they just couldn't keep
it was cute. Cinderella. You got what you wanted with Iona. You got what you wanted.
Oh,
you got what you wanted.
Well, that's
all dreams come true.
That's a story that's developing right now, Rick Pitino and St. John's. But Bart, first of all, you know it's spring, right? We're in spring. It's officially spring.
Man, and it's cold as hell.
It's officially spring. And there's nothing like frolicking in the garden on the weekend in spring. You know what I mean? There's something special about just being in the garden in spring. Because that is what I saw this weekend. Okay. What moved me this weekend?
It moved you.
Was a Knicks comeback over the Denver Nuggets, the best team in the West, by the way, with the reigning MVP. Dominating him down the stretch, winning that game, comeback win, place was rocking. Then they take the court up, right, clean up the ice, put boards around, the glass comes up, the lights come back on, they play a hockey game. And then they just blow the doors off the Penguins, right?
Yeah, it was like 9. I turned off at like 9-0.
I believe it was 6-0.
Yeah, close enough. You know,
and then,
turned it upside down.
You turned it off?
Yeah, it's like, man.
If you turned it off, how were you watching WBC and that at the same time? So that happens.
Are you telling me?
And then the next night, they put a touchdown against the Predators. Another shutout. I mean, you got to – I'm sorry.
I didn't watch
that. There is something that is exciting about when that building is just fired up the way it was all weekend long.
You'll feel sorry for the
next – And then this weekend, you've got the East Regional coming in.
I know.
So that's even more fun.
I know, you know, it's crazy. Like, you know, I was in Miami and I was with my friend Jack.
Yep.
And he had his son. He's going to FAU, and his other son goes to Miami, and his mom keeps confusing. Like, hey, I don't know who to root for. Like, mom, they don't even play each other yet. She kept confusing, so he thought that they played next in the garden, but they have to face some more. They're in different brackets. Like, I didn't realize they had somebody up in Albany. Why they have somebody up in Albany? Come on, man.
Albany?
What are we doing? Yeah, what are we doing?
What do you mean?
Isn't the tournament up in Albany?
Well, they had the first and second round was there.
Yeah, like, why?
And, why not? And the weird thing is that it's the Western Regional, but they're playing it in Albany, New York. That's the weird thing about
that. It's weird.
But I'm just saying that there's something, Bart, I'm telling you, there's something about when the Garden at this time of year and both teams are buzzing.
Yeah.
And both the Knicks are literally.
I'm sad because the Knicks didn't beat up the Nuggets enough to help out the Nets, man. We're supposed to be helping each other out in this
Well, right now you're trying to keep them at arm's length so you can get the fifth seed. So we're not trying to help anybody. But still, can we just stick to the point here? The Knicks have won. Look.
It's amazing. And R.J. Barrett has played well.
And he's playing very well. Here's the thing. We spend so much time with callers and everything else talking about all the problems and all the troubles and all the they're not that good and what does it all mean and what does it matter and all that crap. The Knicks are literally, in the last 15 games, the hottest team in the NBA. They, the Sixers, the Bucks, they all have the same record.
It's crazy.
That record is 12-3 in the last 15 games. There's 10 games to go in the season, so what you have is a Knicks team that is playing its best basketball at the end of the season heading into the playoffs. This is what you want. It's everything you want. And every test so far that has come their way, they have been able to pass. There's been a couple of lulls. They happen during the season. You don't go 82-0. You're going to lose games. What you like is that they have reached a point now where they get it right. They have depth. They're tough to play against. And they are a team that will just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. There's something to enjoy. 2 years ago, that team was just sort of like, wow, oh my God, the Knicks are good. Who saw this coming? And it was kind of fun just to be able to say, they don't suck. This is different. This team, this is A, sustainable. B, this is a team that you enjoy watching because of how hard they play. And there's something special about that. And if the Rangers, if they get Shesterkin right, and the Rangers offense, look, what they did to the Predators is kind of unfair because the Predators weren't really a whole team. The Penguins, though, the Penguins were playing well. So that game was kind of cathartic. But if they can get their goaltending right and they can get offense to really start rolling because they know how deep they are, that's another team where you look and you think, we all remember the days when both these teams, you'd get into the spring and the Garden every night had a game. There was always something happening. You think of the years in the past, 94, 97, it was fun. And, you're wondering, can we get that this year? Can we have that where we're into May and that building is still open for sports?
Yeah.
Been a while and it's fun. That's what I'm talking about.
But I want to ask our callers, man, what moment inspired them? It's crazy because everybody's bracket is busted. So if anybody, ain't nobody.
Nobody's at 100%. Nobody. Listen, everybody's out.
Who's that? Not Bill Gates. Who's the other dude? Not Bill Gates. Who's the guy in Nebraska, the billionaire?
In where?
He's from Nebraska. Come on, man. It's only one billionaire from Nebraska, man.
Is Warren Buffett the guy?
Yeah, Warren Buffett. Yeah, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has it. If anybody gets it, you understand me, man. it's crazy. I can't remember his name, but I remember Nebraska, right?
Which is even more amazing because I wouldn't think Nebraska when I think Warren Buffett. But okay.
Yeah, him and one horse.
Brian Windhorst is the millionaire. Millionaire from Nebraska.
He I got a spread up in Nebraska. You get a lot of bang for your buck Nebraska.
It's true.
But it's crazy because he has $1 billion for anybody who ever gets a perfect bracket, no matter what, right? This year he should double that. You know what I mean?
Well, it's already out. No one, men's or women's tournament.
Zero.
No one has a perfect
bracket. That's why I don't even bother. Call us. Call in and tell us at what moment was your bracket busted. Because I guarantee you, damn near everybody listening, bracket was busted day one.
Well, let's see. When Princeton won. When Fairleigh Dickinson won.
FAU. Who's on FAU?
Florida Atlantic, yeah. You have
Kansas State.
Yeah. I don't know about Kansas State doesn't surprise you.
Who's the transfer that went over there? That's there from Florida.
Are we playing 20 questions today?
He's got it passed out.
This is not Stump Rothenberg. You know what I mean? We can't play this game where you're just asking me questions as if I'm an encyclopedia of things you're asking me that are complete. The way you asked them too.
Jedi mind trick. You're the Jedi.
I was trying to use my Jedi mind trick to get us into a conversation about something.
All right, let's go back. Let's go back. The best thing that you saw the Knicks.
Yeah,
what's going
you saw
on.
You. So for you, it was Trey Turner's home run against Venezuela. Mm-hmm. All right, that was you.
So I have a question about your Knicks. Was the win against Denver more about Denver or more about the Knicks, because all of a sudden it looked like Jokic was the runaway. Probably had a triple double in the loss. He looked like the runaway for the MVP.
He was one rebound shy, I think, of a triple double, or maybe one assist shy. But yeah.
But now the sentiment has changed because they've been losing. He's still putting up the numbers, but now it seems like the hottest team, also you mentioned, is Philadelphia.
Sixers have won eight or nine in a row now.
I thought Joel Embiid got job last year for getting the MVP. I thought he could have been an MVP the last 2 years. Is this the year that Embiid gets his first MVP title?
This is one of those years that, and I said this at the start of the season, that Jokic has won two, and you get that fatigue where people, the voters who are all media, they don't want to vote for the guy a third time. There's just this feeling of somebody else should win it, so you're looking for every excuse.
But they were at first.
No, like, nobody voted. No, nobody voted. This was all done by how many people, like you did a poll of who would win it right now.
But up to a month ago,
yeah,
because of the triple doubles and maybe averaging a triple double for the season,
right?
And his team was like number two in the West, or number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You need to get that microphone for Viagra, man.
Yeah, this microphone.
Super limpy today.
Yeah, this microphone is definitely needs, and she'll like it too. What was that? Nugenics?
Yeah, first of all, Frank Thomas is the fattest. This dude been on Nugenics for 5 years. He gained 10 pounds. All he using it for is for she'll like it too, because he damn sure ain't jumping on the treadmill. Like, jeez. Anyway.
The Jokic thing. So the Embiid thing now, I think people were waiting for a reason, and now there's a reason, because the Nuggets are ending the season kind of slow. They've lost five of the last seven, although they've won two of their last three, if you want to do it that way. I'm telling you right now, they were up 13 in the third quarter, and they were rolling. They look like, oh, here they come again. I think they're ready. And then the Knicks team just, we got to give credit where credit's due. It's not like, oh, the opponent is just – they suck right now. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? The Knicks are a hard team to play against, man.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all.
That's a great point.
And they're in such great shape. They just keep coming. And, like, if they anywhere close near the fourth quarter, that fatigue kicks in for you, and they hit another gear that you can't hit.
And the home crowd, too, that's also a big thing in the building, is that they had – that place was hopping. Like, it was, again, fun atmosphere. And then it lasted into the night when the Rangers came in against a rival, and the Rangers opened up a can against that. I mean, just opened up an absolute can. Wild. And that was, again, that's what you want. And this time of year in this city, as you know, baseball season's going to start in a week, right? And I remember back in the day, I would be at either a Mets game or a Yankees game, and you'd be on your, well, you didn't have phones, so you'd have a transistor radio, and then you would just hear the score of, you know, like the Knick game, the playoff game, or if the Rangers were playing, playoff game, and you'd like yell it out, and then people all around in the whole section would then just start cheering, you know, either let's go Knicks or stuff like that. Like, it was hilarious, but it was fun. And then at times when the team started figuring it out, they would post the score up, like big playoff games, they'd post the score. So that's like, you know, that's the fun part of all this, is you get that synergy of the whole city kind of getting caught up in it. Yeah. So that's where we're at right now, and I think it's kind of fun. 800-919-3776. Let's talk to the people about it, Bart. Again, it's Overreaction Monday. Bart told you what. Remember, he does can't wait on Fridays, but he can't wait to see. And then Monday we turn around and we say, all right, what are we overreacting to, what we saw over the weekend? And for Bart, it was about Trey Turner. And really shocking to me that you got excited about something Trey Turner did. You're a Mets fan. And, you know, you should almost be like,
yeah,
man,
but
whatever.
But country first,
man. Whatever.
Come on, man. It's patriotism.
Is it really, though?
Living in America.
Let's start the day off with Josh in Albany, because you did have an overreaction to something. Come on, Josh.
Oh, my God. I'm such a fan of you guys. And I was like, I can't believe Bart just land-based at Albany. I have to go on the iHeart app, hit all kinds of buttons just so I can listen to you guys. And you made fun of Albany, New York.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
Hey,
dude,
let him have it, Josh.
Can you hear me,
let
Josh? Josh, can you hear me?
Hey.
Josh, can you hear me?
The tournament brought in $15 million this weekend, and it was good for the community.
Josh.
Anyway, I still love you guys.
Josh, can you hear me? Josh,
come on. Let him know in the 518. Let him know.
Josh, I'm sorry. I got a little excited. I just didn't know it was there. I'm sorry. I love Albany.
Maybe
it's a little vinegar there. It's because y'all allowed the Giants to have their training camp there. Mm. You never let the good old Jets come over and have some training camp there.
Bart loves just Cortland,
us
though.
You kicked us up to Binghamton.
Cortland.
I got heartburn drinking. I'm drinking, eating barbecue, dinosaur barbecue, getting heartburn during practice.
Come on, man.
Yes, come on, give us some love.
No, I love Albany. I'm sorry.
It is the state capital, man. And they are, by the way, we have a huge following of our station up in Albany. Keep that in mind as well.
No, I'm just playing. I got a little excited. I just was surprised. Mm. I thought they would have all the tournaments in, like, big places, you know what I mean? With big arenas.
I mean, Albany's a big place. Big arena.
It is.
Get a big crowd.
I just thought it'd
exciting.
Be like, you know, like, I thought, like,
what do you think? It's
Dallas.
Like, is this like Greensboro, North Carolina? Yeah. What's the difference?
No, I thought it'd be like in Dallas, right? Because he always seems to have it. Maybe he has the final
next
four
round. In. Final you know fours.
I thought it'd be in Indianapolis, right? Because they got the big
again, final
center.
Four. You're playing in the, that's the big venue. Final four gets in places like that. Not here. All right. Caesar's in Newark. Caesar.
Hello. Yes.
Yep.
I just wanted to touch really quick on Bart's first initial introduction with regards to Turner.
Mm-hmm.
And that question was actually asked to him after the game. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. Was this equivalent to any moment you've had in your professional career? And he literally said, and I'm going to quote him, he said, individually, I think this is probably the biggest hit that I've hit, probably right up there with any other hit I've had in my career. Ah. So, to Bart's point, I think it was a great moment. The WBC is the best thing they have out there right now, and I hope they continue to do it because this means a lot. I'm Puerto Rican. I was all in with for my Puerto Rican boys. I'm a diehard Mets fan, and for me, it's been the most amazing tournament that they've put out there in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, Caesar, you know what I'm noticing too? Like you said, you're Puerto Rican. And we had, I think we had Bart. Didn't we have a caller on Friday or Thursday who was Dominican or was he Puerto Rican?
He's Puerto Rican too.
And I've noticed a lot of the callers are either like Dominican, Puerto Rican, like Mexican. That is the, to me, the fan base that really is enjoying this more than any other.
I believe so.
You know, I think this, like, it's more like the Spanish and how much they love baseball, but also a lot of nationalism that's going on there as well, patriotic pride. Because, you know, you don't have this for Olympics, and it is, you know, the premier sport in a lot of the Caribbean countries that I think it means so much more to them than maybe the rest of us. And maybe we're not as affected. Again, we have so much else going on. Way more invested. As I've noticed, like, again, what he just said, he's Puerto Rican, and it meant so much to him, and he's loving this.
I tell you what, you talk about New York coming back and all that stuff. Well, for New York to come back and for us to be able to be potentially making noise in the tournament next year, maybe we need to go to Matt and see if maybe he has something to say about that, about you know, a sleeping giant being back.
Matt and Merrick. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Yeah, I always meet you guys during this time. But, I kind of wanted to just talk about, you know, the NCAA tournament with, you know, March Madness, but, you know, mainly college basketball. And it seems like there is going to be a changing of the guard, you know, pretty soon with some of these big schools. And, you know, what I mean by that is I'm noticing that you take these like 10 to 12 schools that are right outside of New York City. The FDU game or the FDU upset, Fairleigh Dickinson, was very symbolic because I think it's showing that a lot of these schools, you know, they can kind of take over this new basketball scene, right? Like they don't need to be the big SEC or ACC schools. They can sort of just, you know, use this momentum, a big win. You have all these marketing deals that are going to be coming right outside New York City, right? So these 8 to 12 schools that are located between, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles from New York City, I think it's going to attract a lot of talent. And I think that some of these New York City schools or even the suburban of New York City schools are going to start attracting a lot of talent. And I think the major difference between college basketball and college football is that you don't need the big SEC facilities. Right. So an SEC school or, you know, you take a school like Alabama football. Yeah. If you're a top recruit, you're going to turn down maybe a smaller school, you know, to go play at Alabama because you still want the big facilities. But in terms of college basketball, the NIL money is still going to be there. you know, at a smaller school, because you don't need a big, you don't need a big gym or an arena. All you need is the marketing outside of New York. So that's just, I just kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And thanks for taking my call.
I tell you what, Matt, I mean, it's the one thing I'll say is that, you know, St. Peter's had that run last year. We all got excited about it. But then what happens always, the coach goes on to Seton Hall and St. Peter's is not heard from again.
Hey, stop, like, you stop know, it, St. John. Stop it, St. John.
Well, no. Like, that's the one thing I think where you can try to tap in is a program like St. John's, because it once was a national program. Like, I mean, not to say anything, Tobin Anderson did a great job at FDU. And they, what a great run this was for them, like, to get themselves on the map. That's awesome. But is it? It's always that question of, is it sustainable, or is it going to go away in the next? You know, like, that's just been the issue with the mid majors. Yeah. They don't like they don't.
Did Shaka stay longer? Shaka stayed a couple years.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about in this area. You know, we've had it where you know, Jersey schools have done this. We've had it. We've had this happen. Iona's gotten in. Obviously,
that was a cool school a couple years ago that caught fire around here. I forgot what it was. Yeah, of course I forgot.
And what I'm saying is, like, the idea that you don't have to be in a big conference, I disagree, because a lot of times recruits will go to a place for exposure purposes. Yep. So you'll transfer out. You'll go in the portal and transfer to a place like FDU because I'm not getting burned at the big school and I need to play. And so I'm going to go here. That's one thing.
That's the
but the best, the blue chips are going to the big conferences because they have the TV networks. Yeah. They have the ability to play on the national stage and be seen more, and that's valuable to them. And the NIL stuff, it's equal footing everywhere, guys. Like, it's not just in New York we have more money. You're going to get that everywhere. Now, the difference is St. John's. And the St. John's does have some people that are willing to throw some money around to keep some players here. And they'll invest if they see the school invest. And that's what makes Rick Pitino so important, is that you bring in a guy like Pitino, you know you're going to be able to recruit because of him. And then you'll get people that want to now invest again in the program because they see that the school is taking it a lot more serious than ever before.
And they know they're going to be visible.
Yes. And so that's the thing to watch as we wait and see when Rick Pitino, who I guess found his way to the Queens campus over the weekend, and we'll see if they get a deal done. What happens first, Bart? Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Jets officially, or Rick Pitino is named head coach of St. John's?
Rick Pitino, not by a landslide.
Probably.
And you know, you Boeheim kind of gave us the indication about why, you know, he likes the new landscape, because it's hard to be because you talk about initially these big recruits are going to go to these blue bloods and going to go to these, you know, these schools with tremendous history, right? But when you can't play there, then you go where you can play.
Right.
So that's – and so, like, where the Blue Bloods go, those guys aren't staying for 4 years. So now –
no, you're either one and done, or if you're not playing, you transfer out to go somewhere else where you can play.
Right. So now you got the guy that was on that, – that's he's worthy of being a Blue Blood, but then he transfers, and now he's so much older and mature.
Well, that's why.
And he's playing at 23, 24, and then he's going against his old alma mater, and he ready to kick their ass, and now they got a new fresh block of Blue Bloods, but they're young.
And we
got to
go, but – that's why Princeton is doing what they're doing right now. You got grown ass men,
45 years old.
Grown ass men. They got three kids and a mortgage, and then not. But seriously, because those are guys that stay.
They went on missions before.
They stay multiple years. Some of them are actually adjunct professors.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
How am I going to get you on board when it comes to what the Knicks are building? Because your first reaction, and a lot of other people, the haters, the first reaction is they're not a championship contender. What does it matter? They're not going to win. They're not going deep in the playoffs. Like, the reaction that we get is that. But all I see is a team that's won now 12 of 15 games. They have 10 games to go in the season. Down the stretch they come. They're looking to lock up the fifth seed. Playoffs are pretty much a lock. It's like 99.8 probability at this point. And they are building something. So do we recognize at least the fact that they have something growing at the Garden? No pun intended.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see this. I mean, who knew that the addition of Josh Hart, especially when the beginning of the season, the disappointment not being able to get Donovan Mitchell, the team kind of getting off to a slow start, and then, you know, the moves that they made and didn't make during the trade deadline, and it was the right moves for them. It was like putting, you know, it's like when you put the corners together first in a puzzle. You don't really know what it looked like, but you know you build it from the outside in. You know, and it's almost like they built it from the inside out, and they had a vision of the type of players that they needed. Because we know not every player can play for Thibodeau. Cam Reddish may end up being a great player.
Right.
He's just not a Nick. Or he's not a Nick that fits the model what a Nick is going to be under Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
And, you know, so I have to tip my hat off to them. You know what I mean? And I tip my hat off to the Nets, too. You know what I mean? Because the bottom could have fell out, right? They could have just, you know, started being in fifth place and been out of it by now. They found a way to kind of salvage this season as well. I'm happy. And to your point, it's great to be a New York fan now because it feels like everybody's building it organically. Nobody's just throwing stuff against the wall hoping it sticks.
Well, it's the chasing stars thing, right, that you get caught up in, and then when it fails, you get frustrated. But all along, you still have to keep trying. You got to keep doing so. Like, whenever people are saying, like, I just can't stand that narrative. Like, I'm tired of hearing people talk about it like, oh, it doesn't matter. They don't have any stars, it doesn't matter. They're not going to win a championship this year, it doesn't matter. Like, what are you supposed to do? Just fold it up and let's just forget playing? Why bother playing? Why bother playing if what's the use? You're not winning a championship this year. But let me ask everybody a question. Your favorite Nick teams, your favorite ones, what were they? What was their identity? What were they made of? What made you like them so much? You can't tell me it's because I loved watching Patrick Ewing play basketball. But that's not the reason why. It was how. It was how they played. It was the fact that every night you knew was going to be a physical battle, and you love that. In this city, that's what we want. We want a team that plays that way. And you got to make up your team of players who play that way. It's the identity. Why did we love your Jets team so much when Rex came in, Bart? Why? Why? Because Mark Sanchez really could throw the football. He could spin it. Hey, come on. No, that wasn't it. It was because you guys bludgeoned teams at the line of scrimmage. Because your defense was elite. And there's something about this town. You know, the defense chant was originated here. In Yankee Stadium, by Giants fans. That's where it originated. You know, defense, right? Clap, clap, defense. That chant, which now is used everywhere, started in this city because that's the stuff we love. We love shutting people down, locking people down. We love smothering any hope that you have of beating us. That's what you love, and that's what Tom Thibodeau brought here. And the funny thing is, their offense is actually better than their defense this year. But that's the identity of a team that will have success in New York.
their offense is their defense because they crash the board so damn hard.
Yep.
And they get extra possessions. Not that they are some outstanding shooting percentage team. You know what I mean? So their offense, their defense is their offense. And, you know, that's a testament to the hard work and grinding.
And that's how you want to see your team play. So that's all, to me, that's what I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it anymore from people that try to find reasons to just piss all over this season. I'm tired of it. This has been a terrific year. They just clinched a winning record. It's the most wins they've had in an 82-win season in 10 years. Like, what are you asking for at this point? They are not a team that you watch and you're like, oh, I hate watching them. You might have a player or two. You know, I know Randall at times gets some people upset. But you know what? The collective of this group is the kind of basketball that you like to watch. Historically in the city, it's the kind of basketball you want to watch. So just try to tell me why you still aren't all in on this season. Tell me why. 800-919-3776.
Why you say it like that?
Because no. I know you're not.
No. No.
And I know there's still people that do nothing but complain about this team.
No, you made me think of NSYNC or not.
Tell me why.
Tell me nothing but.
Yeah, ain't nothing but a heartbreak. Yeah, we know that's coming and probably. So enjoy
tell me
it now.
Why.
Call him in the Bronx. Call him.
Oh, Bartholomew Hollywood Han, what's going on?
What
man, you got to be excited about these Knicks. Right now, this is what? They're fourth winning season in the last two decades.
I don't want to count, but you might be right.
Yeah. I believe that's correct. It's just so most of my life, I'm going to turn 29 next week. Most of my life, they have been an under 500, the bottom of the barrel in the NBA, and I can't ask for anything more for what this team is doing right now.
Kyle.
And you look at that last game against the Nuggets. A well-rested Nick team that's fully healthy is capable of beating anybody right now. And it's just awesome. What's up?
Is this the first time that you're not anticipating the offseason and looking at the draft like, oh, maybe the guy Miller from Alabama or Scoop or Wayway? Is this
no,
the
not
first
at all.
Year?
You got no shot anyway.
Yeah, but I'm saying
although,
this is the first,
yeah,
this the
if
first
Dallas
year.
Keeps losing.
Yeah, I mean, even 2 years ago when the Knicks were good and they made that run in the 72-game season,
yeah,
where they got to the fourth seed and everything, even at that point I was like, oh, well, what are they going to do in the offseason? What are they going to add?
Right.
Right now with this current team, I would like them to maybe make an addition or maybe do something, but right now, the way they're developing, I think quickly is going to get better. I think R.J. Barrett can get better. I think this team, naturally as it stands, can continue to improve
right.
without making any extra additions. And my question that I have to you before I get off is, at what point does it become, oh, there's no way, it's a fantasy for them to make a run and do something special in the playoffs? At what point does it become a conversation where they could do something? You know,
well,
teams that we don't know.
I can tell you,
Cole. Things that we don't expect.
Yeah, but I can. Right. We have that happen a lot. Is there's always a season. I remember a couple of years it was the Atlanta Hawks. You didn't see that coming. They all had a conference final. Like, there's always that team. The Dallas Mavericks last year. Now, yeah, they had Luka.
Yeah, the Phillies.
But, you know, like, right, Philly, if you want to go into baseball, yeah. I mean, there's always a team that just gets hot at the right time, has the right matchups, and suddenly you get a thing where everybody's surprised but them.
Yeah.
You're not
Styles
getting out coached.
Fights too. Styles make fights, too.
That's why I said the matchup matters the most. All right, we got a lot of calls on this. We'll get to it. 800-919-3776. Try to convince me. I've always been the one with the cautious optimism when it comes to the Knicks.
Yeah,
that always, like, couches it like, But I'm watching this team. I watched that team Saturday. I'm in the building. And I'm watching him. I was on the trip, as you know, and I watched him even in the loss to the Clippers, even in the second half against the Kings in that loss, and then obviously the Laker game, and then Portland second half. I'm watching his team, and I'm sitting there in Portland Tuesday night, second half. We're going during a break, and I'm calling the game with Mike Breen on MSG Network, and I turned to Mike and I just said, "This team's legit," and he said, he looked at me, he's like, "Yeah, there's something here, like you could see it. It's different, and it's the way they're coached." It's the depth they have, their bench play, and that Jalen Brunson, as he's now returned from injury, It's complete. This is a good team, and we need to start noticing that.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Those of you out there that are still like, nope, still not good enough. I need to, like Sam in New York City. Sam, why are you? How are you not into this team this year?
I'll tell you what it is. It's outside of the general PTSD of being a Knicks fan and expecting the disappointment. It's kind of like the Clippers or the Hawks or any one of those teams. We're in on the team, but I don't think we can win a championship. Do you?
This year.
It's a lot of teams that can't win a championship. Like, you can't enjoy the ride that it's overachieving and is as fun to watch.
I mean, everybody.
Think Fordham was looking like, oh, my God, we can't win a championship. You don't think they enjoyed the ride?
Not for it.
All right, Sam, hang on. Ray Danahan, our producer, was during the break, said something that is a perfect perspective for anyone who has this feeling that you have right now. Ray, can you let Sam know exactly your perspective on this? Because I thought this nailed it. Go ahead. Listen to this, Sam.
I just said, does anyone think Seinfeld is any worse a program because the finale was so bad? No, everyone enjoyed what it brought to the table every single week because that's what you wanted to see.
Doesn't that make sense, Sam?
Yeah.
I mean, do you want a championship one day? Of course we do. But you can't go from suck to championship in one season. It's like a building process. And I'll tell you what, ask Bart. Like, I hear Miley Cyrus. You want to do another song? The Climb. Like, sometimes part of enjoying a team that eventually can play for a championship is seeing it come together and seeing how the parts start to fit, seeing it suddenly reach a point where you're like, man, remember when you just started to see the foundation being laid?
Remember quickly start figuring it out.
Right.
The game slowed
remember
down.
When they traded for Josh Hart, and all of a sudden, they had something there, man. And then it just built from there. And you don't know what's next. But to say I'm not into this team because they're not winning a championship this year. I mean, well, what the hell? It's about three teams that probably have a chance to win a championship this year. But if you're a team that used to be a laughing stock that no one took seriously, and now all of a sudden teams are like, I don't want to play that team. Ask the coaches that they have played over the last 15 games. Ask them. I've talked to them. They'll tell you, this team's physical. This team gets after you. Like, this is a tough team to play against night in and night out. Now, again, could they be out in the first round? They could. If they play the Cavs and if things don't go right, they could be out. And you could say once again, oh, they can't even win a playoff series. That's fine. But if right now you aren't watching this team and saying to yourself, I like this team, I like the way they play, then you're not enjoying the series. You're just saying, well, the finale is going to suck, so I don't like that show anymore. Like, it's just, I don't understand the mentality when you're a fan here. Now, if you're a Yankees fan, it's a different story. See, right, Bart? Because we've had a great season, great season. The Yankees' standard is different. The Knicks' standard is not to win a championship. They have no right saying that that's their standard. They know that. What they were trying to do is go from suck to competitive. And I think they have gotten there. They are a competitive team that can win a series, that wouldn't shock the world by winning a playoff series. They are good enough to do it. And with the right matchups, they could go on a run. They have that in them. And that's what's making this compelling to watch. Let's see what they can do. See what I mean?
Give them a chance.
Just see what they can do. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go to Scott in Manhattan. Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, man. I agree with you 100%. And for all of you non-Knicks fans out there, go sit in a cave with Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm saying, and get yourself together, because nobody expected us to be where we are today. And I agree with you so much that, listen, people have this effect that go, we can't, you know, we underachieve and it's disappointing. No way. This is one of the most exciting teams in the NBA right now. And I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and we in the right path. The growth of the players is going in the right direction. The guys love playing together. And I'm telling you right now, no team out there wants to battle the Knicks. And the bottom line, we can't beat the upper echelon team probably in four games. But where we at right now, listen, it's just not going to be a cakewalk if you play us. So I'm happy where we at, and I agree with you 100% on.
That's where you need to be. You need to be there. Thank you, Scott.
You play great teams.
Of course.
Injuries happen.
Anything can happen.
Hamstrings. You know, Isaiah Thomas hamstring pull, uh-huh. Magic Johnson hamstring pull. The best team don't always win, man.
Let me tell you something.
That's why you got to show up and play hard.
When things turned around in the late 80s, that team wasn't a championship caliber team, but they were fun. And then they go into the playoffs and they sweep the Sixers, which was a shock. And they run the broom, right? And then the season after that, you're playing the Celtics in Boston in a game five. You're supposed to lose that series. But you don't. You win that series. Like, that was fun. Now, did they lose the next round? Yeah, because they're not ready yet. A couple years later, they beat the Pistons in the first round, and they end sort of the bad boy era. But it's just like little things that can bring you to a point where each year you're getting better and better, and people start taking you serious year after year. And the next thing you know, this team's now set, ready to play for a championship. And this is the beginning of it. This is when you see a foundation that you believe in that's sustainable. That's what this team has brought you.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.